But let's pick it up here in Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 32. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 32. Jesus is in Capernaum, and if you look through Matthew chapter 9, there's numerous instances of people being healed. And so this is the context where we pick it up. Matthew chapter 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Our first point is we need to see the Savior's compassion. We need to see the Savior's compassion. I titled my message this morning, Seeing the Multitudes, because there's millions and millions and millions and even billions that you don't even have to cross the street. All you have to do is, if you got one of these, you can potentially reach them. And God has given us such an amazing opportunity that I dare say if the Apostle Paul was alive today, he'd be doing this. And I thought about the theme of this conference. And so part of it comes into the realm of stewardship. We've been given an opportunity. Do we close our ears and shut our eyes and, you know, say no when God says to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch? And as Brother Jim mentioned last night, are we willing? Are we willing to be bothered with the, pardon the phrase, an inconvenient truth that people are dying and going to hell? And that we have the means, the motive, and the opportunity. That's not usually said in a positive light, but we have the means, the motive, and the opportunity to literally reach millions from our couch in our living room. I mentioned before that we don't feel like the Lord has called us only to have this video ministry reaching people with the gospel. Part of what we feel the Lord has called us to do is to replicate, duplicate our ministry, teach and train others how to do the same thing. So if you get a chance sometime during this conference today, if you go down to our display table, we have prayer cards that has how you can reach us, how you can see all of our videos on our social media accounts. But also, we have a link to our how-to video. We made a tutorial, okay? In the age of YouTube tutorials, we made one of how to do what we're doing. It's about an hour long, and it goes step-by-step through what we do and how we do it. I've been contacted by a couple of different ministries that have said, we want you to train our missionaries how they can do this same thing. And I said, yes, yes, that's what we want to do. And so we want to be able to help to do that. But we can literally, and this is not hyperbole, this is not an exaggeration, we can literally reach the world. There's a girl who was a lesbian in Missouri, teenager. She got saved because of a video that I posted on TikTok. And in the messages that we do, we're very careful, because in this day and age, you know, a middle-aged, bald, white guy messaging people, you got to be careful and above board, okay? So my wife and I do these messages together. She does a lot of them. And we try and give them sound biblical advice. We try and not only lead them to the Lord if they're ready. We don't push anybody. But oftentimes, if somebody has the courage and the desire and the motivation to message this stranger, send me a private message and say, hey, I saw your video. How can I go to heaven? How can I know more about Jesus? How can I be sure that I'm saved? If they're to that point where they will step out and reach out to me, odds are the Holy Spirit has already been working in their heart and life, and they're basically ready. And this seems crazy, but we've had numerous experiences that are just like the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Or like that Ethiopian eunuch asking questions What does this mean? Can you help me to understand? I saw your video and I'm a little confused. I'm a Catholic. We had a girl in London who was Catholic and she got saved. And all of these we are pointing to when I get a solid profession of faith from them. And just like, you know, Brother Jim's ministry, Dan Bergman can't know for sure if that person is genuinely saved. We can never know. And I tell them that. I say, I can't know if you're saved. I never say, congratulations, you're saved now. But I tell them that the Bible says if somebody does this and believes with all their heart, they're not flippant about it, and they have a repentant attitude about their sin, and they believe as best they know how that Jesus died and rose again for them, the Bible says that somebody that does that shall be saved. And so when they say, yes, I did that, I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I tell them that I would love to recommend to them a good church in their area if they would allow me to do so. I don't ask them their address. A lot of these people are anonymous. They don't even have their real picture or real name. But I'll tell them, if you can tell me what city or town you are near, I would love to recommend a good church in your area. And I'm part of a couple different networks on Facebook of independent Baptist pastors, missionaries, evangelists, that I can send out feelers and say, hey, does anybody know of a missionary or a good church, you know, in the Manchester area in England or in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or wherever it might be? And then in that same private message, that string of messages that we have, I can message them and let them know that church. And oftentimes, if I can, the optimum flow, the optimum result is to put them in touch with the pastor or youth pastor of that church and give them the cell phone number and make that connection. That's not always how it works, but that's our goal, to hand off the baton, so to speak. But we have an opportunity. And are we being good stewards of that opportunity? I'm going to tell you some statistics that might shock you. Okay? 3.48 billion people use social media today. That's with a B, 3.48 billion. That's one out of every two people on Earth. By 2025, three-fourths of the people on the planet will have a smartphone. By 2025, that's the statistic. The average U.S. adult spends an average of 2 hours and 55 minutes on their phone every day. How many of you get those little screen time things, and it's usually like Sunday morning when you're in Sunday school, the phone will, you know, vibrate or something, and it says, you spent, you know, 8,000,000% more this week on your phone. How many of you do that and aren't afraid to mention it, okay? How many of you are right around that 3 hour a day, if you know, okay? I'm kind of right around that point. And when I started this ministry, it was like, you're spending way too much time on your phone. Because I'm posting these videos and messaging people. But the vast majority of that time, statistically, of that 2 hours and 55, that 3 hours a day, the vast majority of that time is spent on social media. Now, what do I mean by social media? Well, we have printed media, right? We have newspaper, we have visual media, we have news, we have television, we have audio media, radio, okay? Social media is where you can connect with people, with a community online in forms of media. Maybe that's just text, maybe that's pictures, maybe that's video. What we do is primarily video. And it's been statistically proven that video, online video, is like 1,200% more shareable, more likely to be seen, more likely to go viral than text and photo combined. So online video is where it's at. And the interesting thing, like I mentioned in my video there, is that on Facebook, you're kind of in a bubble of your friends and people you follow and pages that you like. And that's what you see. But on TikTok, they have this thing called an algorithm, which is a fancy word for the computer chooses which videos go viral through this algorithm. And so what they will do, when you put a video on TikTok, TikTok is video only. And it used to be 1 minute or less, now it's 3 minutes. Or less. So that makes my job a lot easier. They'll take that video and they'll send it to like 50 random people. The instant you post it, 50 random people. If those 50 random people interact, they comment, they share, they send all kinds of nasty hate mail like I got for that video, That's counted as interaction. And TikTok says, hey, let's show it to 100 more people. And it will snowball. Because of those comments, because of those interactions, even if they're just, you know, trolling you, basically saying hateful things, hey, that's interaction. If they like your video, that's interaction. If they watch your whole video from beginning to end, that's interaction. And so it will snowball, and that's how you can get a video. I did a video about dinosaurs in the Bible. It's had almost 4 million views. Oh, and by the way, okay, so I'm not sure when I made that video. It was earlier this year, where our statistic was our videos have been seen by 4 million. We're approaching 11 million right now. And so it is literally just snowballing. We've had over 550 people now that have reached out to us and said, I got saved because of your video. And it's just amazing. The average person, and this is the crazy one, okay? The average person touches their phone. Maybe they're checking their notifications. Maybe they have it on their desk and they feel the need to touch it. Or maybe you're like me and you like check your pocket every once in a while. Did I forget my phone at home? You know, and you touch your phone. The average U.S. adult touches their phone an average of 2,716 times per day. Now, use your sanctified imagination just for a second. What if that statistic was true about doorknobs? Okay? If somebody is just sitting by their door, just looking at it for 2 hours and 55 minutes a day, what if they just, you know, sit by that door and they touch the doorknob 2,000 something times a day? How foolish would we be to not get engaged in door-to-door ministry? If they're there, if they're touching it, if they're waiting, if that's where they are, how much of a mistake would we be making not to invest all of our time into door-to-door ministry? And yet this is exactly what we have right now with social media. I post a video and it shows up in somebody's phone in their pocket in Timbuktu. I've had atheists say, why am I seeing your video? I don't even believe in God. Jewish people, Hindu, Catholic, all these people, Muslims, multitude of Muslims, are seeing my videos. They don't want to see them. But because of the way that the algorithm works, TikTok is like, hey, here's Dan Bergman, check this video out. And we are getting responses from people. And if nothing else, it's a huge net. We're fishers of men, right? We're just casting out an amazing, huge net that God has miraculously placed in our pockets that the Apostle Paul would be like, what in the world? How can we use this for the gospel? I believe Paul was that kind of guy. I mean, he was daily in the marketplace in the synagogues, right? He was where the people are. Where are people today? 3 hours a day? 2,716 times? They're on their phones. Secondly, we need to see the scattered sheep. We see the Savior's compassion. We need to see the scattered sheep. Verse 36, Jesus was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Can you see the multitudes? I know back in the day, BIMI had a banner in their missions conference, Baptist International Missions Incorporated, I think. They had a banner that said 7 billion reasons why. And I've never forgotten that. Do we see these people as souls? Do we see them as scattered sheep? They don't have a shepherd. You would be amazed to find out how many young people, 10, 11, 12 years old, 13, 14, 15, they're looking for answers. They're looking for solid spiritual truth. They're looking for something real. And they're looking for it on TikTok. They're looking for it on Instagram. And we have the opportunity to share it with them in a way that surprises them because they're not getting it anywhere else. And I'll tell you what, as far as TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all of these, YouTube, there's a whole lot of wolves out there. There's a whole lot of false doctrine. There's a whole lot of false gospels, crazy stuff. There ought to be some voices speaking truth on these platforms. We need to see the scattered sheep. We have a friend who had some goats. And these goats were named Ethel and Lucy. And Ethel, was it Ethel or Lucy that had the kids? Ethel. Ethel had some baby goats. And they were named Jay and Anna after the kids that helped deliver them. Okay, kids delivering kids, I guess. But they were so cute and so little. What would happen to Jay and Anna, these little baby goats, at, how old were they? Like a couple weeks old when we saw them, 2 weeks old. If they were let go into the field without their mother or without our friend to take care of them, what would happen to those goats, those sheep? They would perish. They would die. They would be sheep scattered abroad having no shepherd. This is how Jesus wants us to see people. And we might be the only Jesus that they ever see. We may be the only gospel witness that they ever have. We are to be fishers of men. Keep your finger there in Matthew. Turn back to Luke chapter 5. Real quickly, Luke chapter 5. Interesting story I want to share with you. In verse number 1, it came to pass that the people pressed on him to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake Gennesaret. This is Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Okay, so Jesus is in Peter's boat on the Sea of Galilee teaching the people. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and cast down your nets for a draught, for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So back in January of 2020, I saw a Facebook post from a friend of mine that says, hey, I have a friend that's using TikTok to share the gospel. He puts one-minute videos on there, and people are seeing his videos. And I thought, what is TikTok? I thought, well, I'll give this a try. And that was January 3rd of 2020. That video there, Jesus was an Israeli. That was my first video to ever go viral, and that was like a month and a half after I started my account. And I checked my phone just to see, you know, how it was doing. And it said 13,000 views. And I thought, is there something wrong? Is there a glitch? And I turned my phone off and back on and turned the app back on, and it wasn't a glitch. 13,000 views. And I was getting all these comments. It got up to like 70,000-80,000 comments, or 70,000-80,000 views. And, you know, over 1,000 nasty comments, mostly from Muslims. And I thought, is there a way they can find where I live? Seriously, like, let me put this here so I don't have to turn back. I was doing this, and I decided to take that video right there and make it private. Okay, I didn't delete the video, but I basically hid it. And I was doing this for like a day. What do I do? What do I do? And then I felt as though God spoke to my heart, you're taking the gospel and you're hiding it under a bushel. And boy, did that not feel good. And so I said, all right, Lord, I took that video, I made it public, made all my settings as public as possible. People could find me easily on TikTok. And I haven't looked back. That video right there, I think, has had over 250,000 views at this point, probably mostly by angry people. I had one video that a Muslim gentleman made all about me, that I was a false prophet and not to watch my videos, and that only skyrocketed the views of my videos. Lots of times people will argue in the comments. I had Israelis, I think it was this video, two Israelis were arguing about me. One was saying, I'm not that bad, I don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but this guy's not that bad. The other guy was saying, he's a heretic, and they were both arguing in Hebrew. Now, there's a feature on there where you can translate the comments, okay? But they were arguing with each other in Hebrew, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Meanwhile, TikTok is like, hey, more comments, let's drive up the engagement of this video, you know, and so they make it seen by more people. Anyway, okay, back to Luke chapter 5. Boy, I took my thing out, didn't I? Luke chapter 5, back to where we left off. Simon answering, "Nevertheless, I'll let down thy net. Let down the net." When this was done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come help. And they came and filled both the ships, and they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And if there's one verse that could encapsulate my feelings right now about all of this, is that, "Depart from me, Lord. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this ministry. I'm not worthy to be used in this way," and that Jesus, you know, uses the base things to confound the mighty. That's just how God desires to work. And he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which were taken, and also was James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." When they had forsook, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And that's what we're called to do, each and every one of us, whether you're in quote-unquote full-time ministry or not. We are all called to be fishers of men. I got a response from a Satanist that saw my video. And he says, "I don't need God, I'm my own God." Now, in the video, he heard and saw the gospel. The seed was sown. He responded, "I don't need God, I'm my own God." Could I lambast him? Could I, you know, give him what for? Could I block him? Could I just say all these nasty things in response? Yeah, I could have. And I just said, "Well, if you want to talk, you know where to find me." And he responded. He said, "You are different from any other Christian I've ever talked to." We're not called to be nasty to people. When we're reviled, we're supposed to revile not again. And that is what is going to make the difference. People are supposed to know that we're his disciples because of our love, right? And sometimes they're looking for a response. "I'm going to get this guy to," you know, he doesn't use the terminology "lose his testimony," but that's what he's trying to do. And so we need to not give in to those things. And then lastly, verse 37 of Matthew chapter 9, we need to see the harvest field. We need to see the harvest field. Verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Kind of like our economy today, right? The problem is not that there's no harvest, the problem is that there's no laborers. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So we're praying for people that will pray for us. Maybe step out by faith and say, "Hey, I'm just a teen, or I'm just a young adult. What in the world am I supposed to do? Or I'm a grandpa. What am I supposed to do with what you're talking about?" You know, there's a guy on TikTok called the Dancing Grandpa, and he has like millions of followers. If he can do it, you can do it for the gospel, okay? Not getting up there and dancing. I was at one church in Wilson, North Carolina, and they said, "You know, Brother Dan, he's on TikTok. He's going to come up here and do a dance for us." I said, "That's not something you want to see. It's mostly, you know, idiots dancing and stuff, yes. But there is an opportunity, as crazy as it seems, there's an opportunity to share the gospel on these platforms. You ever see a field of wheat or corn or some kind of crop and it was never harvested? My wife grew up across from a field, and they would have different things in there at different times. Sometimes it would be corn. And sometimes they just would never get around to harvesting it for whatever reason. And maybe a cold spill would come, some kind of snap, and things would start dying. And there was a field full of corn, and it's all brown and withering. And it was never harvested. May that never be said about us and the harvest fields that God has given us. We need to be good stewards of the nets that we've been given, so to speak. Those who have gone before us have not had this opportunity. But in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And so pray for us. We are getting attacked by the devil, but we're also seeing more fruit in the last 10 months than I had seen in the last previous 10 years of ministry. We're reaching Jewish people. We're reaching Gentile people. God still has given me a heart for my people. But he's given us this opportunity, and this is what he's called us to do. So thank you for your prayers and for the opportunity to be able to share it with you here this morning.